My accidental husband is a billionaire. Chapter 829. Monbatten's eyes widened in disbelief as he stared at the DNA test results in his hands. Slowly, he turned his gaze toward little Amy. At that moment, Monbatten felt like he was dreaming. Someone tell him, was this really happening? The child he'd longed for all these years was standing right in front of him. His eyes reddened immediately. He crouched down and scooped Amy up in a tight embrace. Amy, I'm your dad. Amy nodded enthusiastically. I know, Daddy. Monbatten's voice trembled. Say it again. Call me Daddy one more time. Daddy. Hearing the word again sent a tremor through his chest, his cold, hardened heart suddenly softening. He had been with many women over the years, but he'd never truly cared for any of them. As a king, love was a luxury he couldn't afford. His harem of over 100 women had all been there for one reason only, to produce heirs. But none of them combined mattered even a fraction as much to him as little Amy did. For 5 long years, Monbatten had dreamed of this moment, yearned for it, every single day. Now, holding her in his arms, he wanted to cry out, to let all the frustration and emptiness he'd endured pour out. But he held back, afraid he might scare her. After all, she was so small, so delicate, like a porcelain doll that might shatter with the slightest mishandling. His eyes rimmed red as he stared at Amy. Then, all of a sudden, he let her go and burst out laughing. Monbatten, the mighty king, finally had a child. Monbatten, the ruler of Country A, had an heir. He stood up abruptly and turned to the guards behind him. This is my daughter. The guards nodded. Congratulations, Your Majesty. Monbatten clamped a hand over his mouth, turning to Sean in the room. Sean, my daughter. Sean smiled. Congratulations. Monbatten then looked at Kira, pointing excitedly at Amy. She's mine. She's my daughter. Kira raised an eyebrow, her lips twitching. Got it? When Monbatten's gaze landed on Louis, Louis stepped back coolly before Monbatten could say a word. Monbatten's attention then drifted to Jenkins and Aaron, who were sitting in the corner, eating pistachios and clearly enjoying the show. He rushed over, grabbing Jenkins in a hug. My daughter Amy is my daughter. Jenkins flinched. I know, Your Majesty. Now, please let go of me. Monbatten released her and immediately lunged for Aaron. My daughter. I have a daughter. Aaron stared blankly as Monbatten closed in. Just as he was about to grab her, Charles, who had just gotten back from school, stepped in with a loud shout. Stop. Monbatten froze. Charles marched over, wedging himself between Monbatten and Aaron. He gave Monbatten a quick, awkward hug. All right, that's enough. Hands off my girlfriend. Unbothered, Monbatten returned the hug with enthusiasm. My friend, I found my daughter. Charles sighed. Yeah, I know. Monbatten let him go and immediately turned back to Amy. Kira couldn't help but pinch the bridge of her nose. Monbatten's reaction was a lot, even for him. She muttered, you need to calm down. Calm down? How can I calm down? Suddenly, Monbatten dropped to his knees in front of Amy, hugging her tightly as tears streamed down his face. Do you have any idea how much pressure I've been under all these years? Everyone adores me as their king, but I had no children. No heirs. Everyone kept pushing me to have one, but they didn't understand my pain. They didn't understand. His tears fell harder now. I thought I'd never have a child of my own, but then I found you. My daughter. Amy, seeing him cry so miserably, reached out with her little hand and gently wiped his tears. Daddy, don't cry. I'm right here. Those soft, comforting words brought a bright smile to Monbatten's face. All right, all right. Daddy won't cry. My little princess, no, my little queen. Amy, will you come home with Daddy? Hearing this, Amy glanced nervously at Kira. Kira frowned, her lips pressing together. Monbatan followed Amy's gaze, looking straight at Kira. Miss Olson, since Amy's mother is gone, I'm her only parent now. She belongs with me. Kira let out a deep sigh. The thing she had been dreading most had finally happened. Amy couldn't go with Monbatan, not now. Amy was her sister's only child, her only link to her late sister. But if she refused, would Monbatan fight her for custody? Would the fragile peace they had just established shatter all over again? While Kira was still lost in thought, Amy spoke up softly. Daddy, I'm scared to go with you. Monbatan blinked. Why not? Because the uncle and brother I saw that day were really scary, Amy said innocently. Mommy said I shouldn't go to dangerous places. Her words hit Monbatan like a truck. He instantly understood her meaning. Country A was riddled with threats right now. If he brought his 3-year-old daughter back, what if his elder brother turned her into a target? What had he been thinking, letting his emotions take over like that? But if not home, would she have to stay with the Olsen family? My accidental husband is a billionaire. 830 Chapter 829. Monbatan furrowed his brows and looked at Kira. His demeanor immediately shifted, his voice calm and composed. Miss Olsen. Amy is a child of the Olsen family, Kira began, her tone steady. You can rest assured, we'll take good care of her. And. She paused briefly before continuing, Amy's last name is South. Monbatan's eyes widened in disbelief. South. Yes, Kira confirmed. Her mother was my sister, Kira South. She observed the subtle shift in his expression, noting his recognition of the name. Monbatan was stunned. The South family? The South family. That's right. Kira's gaze remained steady. Monbatan's breathing quickened. Of course, he'd heard of the South family. The Souths were an ancient and enigmatic lineage, with roots tracing back over 1,000 years. Their influence was so discreet yet pervasive that most people couldn't pinpoint when they had first emerged on the global stage. It was only in recent years, as South family members began appearing more prominently in international affairs, that the world started piecing together fragments of their vast network. No one knew the full extent of their holdings. For all he knew, the very skyscraper he worked in could belong to a subsidiary under the South family's sprawling empire. Once, Monbatan had attempted to tally their industries. Just the business ventures tied to Clownfish and Jenkins accounted for half of his nation's tax revenue. Clownfish alone took up 49%, while Jenkins barely held 1%. That disparity was exactly why Monbatan turned a blind eye when Jenkins had sought his help. Clownfish was too powerful. How could he risk angering the powerhouse that was Lion over such a small margin? The South family was unparalleled. Even a seemingly inconspicuous representative of theirs carried immeasurable clout. Which begged the question, would Amy, a child of the South family, still ascend the throne of Country A as its next ruler? Compared to the Souths, Country A seemed almost insignificant. Monbatan felt the weight of this realization crush any remnants of pride. His tone became humbler as he addressed Kira. I'll leave Amy in your family's care. Once things stabilize back home, I'll return to visit her. Kira nodded. Amy will grow up freely in the Olsen family. When she turns 18, I'll explain everything to her. Whatever she chooses then, I trust you, King Monbatan, will respect her decision. Of course. Monbatan smiled, his hand gently brushing through Amy's hair. His eyes softened with a father's tenderness. She's my daughter. As much as I want her to take the throne, I'd rather she live a life of freedom. Kira smiled faintly in return. Monbatan went on to express his gratitude, assuring Kira that Country A would serve as her strongest ally in her pursuit of the South family's inheritance. That evening, they shared a pleasant dinner. When it was time for Monbatan to leave, he seemed reluctant, eventually mustering the courage to ask, "Would it be possible for me to stay in one of the Olsen family's guest rooms?" Kira blinked. "Excuse me." Uncle Olsen stepped in to clarify. "Your Majesty, your presence here might attract unnecessary attention, which would complicate things for the Olsen family. However, I can take Amy and stay with you for a few days instead." Monbatan wouldn't stay in Kira for too long, and because of that, he felt even more reluctant to part with Amy. Given Monbatan's status as a visiting dignitary, his movements were heavily scrutinized. Staying at the Olsen residence could draw unwanted focus, not just from political rivals but also from families like the Cobbs. With the South family's members currently concentrated at the Olsen estate, such scrutiny was far from ideal. Uncle Olsen's solution struck a perfect balance, allowing Monbatan precious time with Amy while ensuring her safety. Monbatan agreed readily, visibly relieved. Soon after, Uncle Olsen packed a few essentials, along with Amy's clothes, toys, and a small entourage of caretakers, and departed with Monbatan. Once they were gone, Jenkins, Aaron, and Sean all gravitated toward Kira. Jenkins whistled. "That was a masterstroke, Kira. You've tied Monbatan to us for good." Aaron popped a pistachio into her mouth. "All right, spill. How long have you known about this? You kept us in the dark completely." Kira responded nonchalantly, "I only found out recently." The group erupted into laughter. Kira, however, studied their expressions before posing a question. "The South family's open house is coming up. Are you all planning to go back?" The room fell silent. After a long pause, Jenkins spoke first. "I promised you, didn't I? I'd help you handle Monbatan. I'll go back with you." Aaron nodded, her tone casual but firm. "I'll go too." Sean hesitated before shaking his head. "I'm not going. My accidental husband is a billionaire." 831 Chapter 830. Jenkins immediately asked, "Why?" Sean shot her a cold glare, and she instinctively shrank back. This guy had been a source of intimidation for as long as Jenkins could remember, ever since they were kids. Sean didn't answer her question. Instead, Kira, who had been quietly observing, stepped in. "If I had to guess, you probably haven't been back much since you turned 10, have you?" Sean's gaze flickered with surprise, then he nodded slightly. "Yeah." Jenkins still looked baffled. "Why, though?" Sean glared at her again. "Shut up," Jenkins said. "Okay." Without another word, Sean headed for the kitchen. Ever since the revelation of his true nature, Sean no longer bothered pretending to be the refined gentleman he'd once projected. The transformation was complete, gone was the genteel facade, replaced by his sharp, unapologetic self. What was more, after shamelessly aligning himself with Kira, he'd practically taken up permanent residence at the Olsen estate, showing up daily to eat whatever she cooked. And if that wasn't enough, his sidekick had taken it upon himself to announce Sean's arrival like some royal decree. "Careful with that. Don't scratch anything, all right?" The lackey barked at the movers before marching up to Kira. "Miss Olsen, where's the room Mr. Church will be staying in?" Kira blinked, caught off guard. "Excuse me? He's moving in." "Of course," the lackey chirped. "Our boss plans to eat your cooking every day. Living here will save us the trouble of commuting back and forth. The Olsen estate is huge, surely there's a spare room somewhere." Well, he wasn't wrong. The sprawling Olsen mansion boasted dozens of rooms on each floor, more than enough for guests, staff, and residents. But the thing was, the Olsen family was big. Really big. And they never divided the estate. Add to that the increasing number of uninvited guests who had taken up semi-permanent residence, and all the sunny, prime-view guest rooms had already been claimed. Kira sighed and made her way to the kitchen, where Sean was enjoying a bowl of pasta she'd prepared. Kira wasn't a professional chef, after all. Cooking for Sean every day wasn't exactly part of the plan, so she kept it simple: soups, pasta, maybe some bread. Yet Sean, picky as he was, seemed perfectly content, polishing off her meals with an almost childlike satisfaction. It was ridiculous. In just a few days of staying at the Olsen estate, he'd visibly filled out. His complexion was glowing, and he looked so ethereal it was hard to tell if he was impossibly handsome or absurdly beautiful. Hearing her approach, Sean turned, his bright almond-shaped eyes flickering with what almost seemed like hurt. He finished his pasta in small, deliberate bites and then walked out without a word. Heading straight for Jenkins, he announced, "You. Move out of your room." Jenkins was shocked. This was outrageous. She wanted to protest. She really did. But Sean's intimidating presence made her words falter. Luckily, someone else had no such qualms. "Nope. Not happening." Peter had just walked in. After a long day at work, all Peter wanted was to unwind. But coming home to see his girlfriend being bullied? Absolutely not. Jenkins was currently occupying Peter's master bedroom. Peter rolled up his sleeves, storming over to Sean. "Who do you think you are?" Sean's eyes darkened, a dangerous edge flashing in his gaze. Before things escalated, Kira's calm voice broke through. "He's my fifth brother." Instantly, the tension in Sean's expression dissolved. It couldn't be helped. This guy wasn't someone he could kill. If he did, there'd go his meal. Letting out a disgruntled huff, Sean muttered, "Fine. Can I at least have some space here?" "For what?" Kira asked, puzzled. "To build a house." Kira was speechless. She pinched the bridge of her nose. "There's no need for that. You can take the guest room Peter's using." "What about me?" Peter protested. "Go back to your room," Kira said simply. Her words made Jenkins' cheeks flush. The two of them had been in a rough patch lately, each stubbornly sticking to their own space. Kira's suggestion was a blatant nudge for reconciliation. Jenkins coughed awkwardly, glancing at Peter, who blinked at her in confusion before asking, "But, where will Jenkins sleep?" Kira was dumbfounded. So was Jenkins. Even Aaron, who had been casually munching pistachios, choked on one at Peter's obliviousness. Seriously, how did this guy ever land a girlfriend? With a sharp tug on his ear, Jenkins snapped, "What? Sharing a bed with me is such a hardship for you." Peter stammered, "No. I just, wasn't thinking." She dragged him upstairs to pack up his things. As Peter carried his belongings out of the room, he asked Sean, "Need a maid to change the sheets for you?" Sean scoffed. "No. That's gross. I've slept there," Peter shot back, visibly annoyed. Sean didn't miss a beat. "I know. That's why I'm gutting the room and replacing everything with my own furniture." He gestured, and his team of lackeys swarmed the room. For the next hour, the once cozy guest room was transformed into an elegant space with antique-style furnishings, every trace of Peter's presence scrubbed away. Downstairs, Jenkins and Aaron sidled up to Kira, whispering, "Hey, Kira, what's Sean's deal? Why didn't he go back to the South family after he turned 10? My accidental husband is a billionaire." 832 Chapter 831. Kira glanced at Jenkins, then at Aaron standing behind her with her ears practically perked up. These two were such gossips. Kira couldn't help but twitch the corner of her mouth before finally saying, "I think it's because his voice has changed, and now he has an Adam's apple. It'd be tough to keep pretending to be a woman." Jenkins immediately had a lightbulb moment. Aaron smacked her forehead. "Why didn't I think of that?" Kira gave them both a slightly exasperated look and walked away. There were still about 10 days before the South family estate opened its gates. She needed to prepare. The mystery surrounding the South family lingered. Jenkins, Aaron, and even Sean had remained tight-lipped about it. The silence made her feel both curious and uneasy. Back in her room, she saw Lewis typing away at his desk, engrossed in work. Kira walked over and asked, "Why are you so busy lately?" "I'm trying to wrap up everything for the next month," Lewis replied evenly. Ah, it clicked. He was clearing his schedule to accompany her to the South family. But she suspected the isolation of the South estate meant he couldn't afford to leave any loose ends. After thinking it through, Kira stood in front of him. "You shouldn't come with me this time." Lewis paused, his fingers hovering over the keyboard. Then he looked up at her. "Why not?" Kira explained slowly, "It's my first time going to the South estate, and I don't even know what to expect there. I want to check on my mom and make sure she's doing okay, but I can't guarantee I won't be found out. If they realize I'm not Kira, I might get stuck there. If you come with me, who's going to rescue me?" Lewis didn't hesitate to reject her idea. "No." Kira blinked in surprise. Lewis walked over to her, his tall frame casting a shadow over her. "Kira, do you know how hard it was for me when you fell into the ocean in Oceanian? Those days when I thought I'd lost you, do you know how painful that was? I'm not going to go through that again. I won't lose you." Hearing his answer, Kira sighed. She'd expected him to refuse, but she'd had to try asking. Seeing how resolute he was, she could only nod. "All right. Together, then." "Yes, together. No matter what." Lewis pulled her into a hug before returning to his desk. "We don't know how long we'll be there, so I need to get everything squared away. Don't worry, I've made contingency plans for everything." Kira nodded. While Lewis was buried in work, Kira, who had already handed over most of her company responsibilities to others, found herself with nothing to do. She decided to go find Jenkins. On her way past Aaron's room, the door swung open. "Where are you going?" Aaron asked. "How'd you know it was me?" Kira replied. "I can tell by your footsteps. If you're walking past my room, you're heading to Jenkins." "Going to see her?" Aaron pouted. "You've got a new buddy now and don't love me anymore." Kira twitched her mouth in amusement. "I just want to ask her about the South family. I can tell you about it too," Aaron said with a pout. Kira gave her a look. This girl, who'd been so aloof when they first met, refusing to spill anything about the South family, now seemed to feel threatened. Aaron's personality was bubbly and open, her gaze clear and almost childlike. Yet, she was as cunning as a fox, a contradiction that was both fascinating and baffling. Kira finally said, "All right, come with me. If Jenkins doesn't have all the answers, you can fill in the gaps." "Okay," Aaron said, then paused. "Wait a second." She darted back into her room. Kira didn't wait and instead went straight to Peter Olson's door. She knocked, hearing some shuffling inside before Jenkins opened the door, her face flushed. "Kira? What's up? I wanted to ask you about the South family, but you seem preoccupied." Kira replied, noticing the faint hickeys on Jenkins' neck. Jenkins coughed awkwardly. "A little, yeah. How about—" Before she could finish, Aaron came bounding over with a bag of snacks. She wore a pajama set with a bunny logo and fuzzy slippers. "Oh, Lion's busy? Kira, ask me instead." "I'm free tonight, Peter's not home." Jenkins, who'd been about to say she wasn't free, immediately interjected, "I'm free." No way was she letting Aaron score points in front of Kira. Without another word, Jenkins stepped out. "Let's talk in Aaron's room." Kira had realized her mistake as soon as Jenkins opened the door. She shouldn't have shown up when Peter was home. So the trio, with Aaron dragging a snack-laden tote bag, headed to Charles's room instead. It was Kira's first time there, and it was obvious Charles was a meticulous and scholarly man. The room was pristine, with a study boasting three walls of bookshelves filled with academic texts on physics and other sciences. However, among this orderliness was a glaringly out-of-place pink snack cabinet. Not to mention the fluffy white pillows and plush toys that were undoubtedly Aaron's. Even more absurd, most of the books had been shoved to a corner, and the shelves were now stocked with snacks instead. It was as if Aaron's chaotic energy had forced its way into Charles's methodical world. Yet Aaron seemed completely oblivious. She flopped onto a sleek black leather couch with a white plush toy, crossed her legs, and pulled a snack cart closer with practiced ease. She even had tea ready on a side table. "Sit down, everyone," she chirped. Kira found the whole setup amusing and sat beside Aaron. Jenkins scanned the room, her lips twitching. "Don't you feel like you've completely disrupted Charles's life?" "Really?" Aaron tilted her head innocently. "I think we're perfect for each other," Jenkins sighed. Kira cut in, "All right, let's focus. We're heading to the South family soon, and I want to know what to expect. My accidental husband is a billionaire." 833 Chapter 832. Aaron shot her hand up immediately. "I'll go first." Kira glanced at her, amused. This was the same Aaron who always acted so secretive whenever Kira asked for details, guarding her information like it was the family's treasure. But now that Jenkins was here, she suddenly seemed eager to compete. "All right," Kira said with a nod. "Go ahead." Aaron cleared her throat dramatically. "So, over the years, I've gone back home a few times. It's always the same process. First, we take a boat out into the open sea. From there, a smaller boat comes to pick us up. At that point, they blindfold us, and we're on the water for about 12 hours. When we finally reach land, they still don't let us take off the blindfolds. We're immediately put in a carriage and taken to our respective homes." Aaron paused for effect, then added, "And when I finally get to take off the blindfold, bam, I'm home." Kira blinked. "Seriously?" That explanation was about as helpful as no explanation at all. Turning to Jenkins, she raised an eyebrow. He gave a small nod. "It's the same for me. Every trip back home lasts about a week. I get to spend time with my parents, and then, when it's time to leave, someone comes to escort us out. They drop us off on a fancy cruise ship, and to the outside world, it looks like we've spent a week at sea. But in reality, we've already been back home for that time." Kira frowned thoughtfully. "When you're home, can you leave the house?" Aaron shook her head. "Not a chance." Jenkins chimed in, "We're monitored pretty closely. There's no going anywhere. They even do random checks to make sure we're home. For those 7 days, it's really just family time, me and my parents, nothing else." Aaron added, "There's no cell service at home either. The TVs work, though. We get all the regular channels from across the country. Honestly, aside from being stuck indoors, it's pretty comfortable." Jenkins nodded. "It's our little slice of peace before heading back out. And honestly, it's for our safety." Kira considered this. "So, if you could leave, anyone could figure out where you live, come for you, and, let's just say the air wars would get pretty ugly. That's why they keep you under lock and key to protect you." "Exactly," they both replied. "Our appearances are a closely guarded secret," Jenkins explained. "Only our parents know what we look like. And honestly, those few days at home are the safest and most relaxed we ever get. Because out here, they always had to watch their backs, knowing other heirs might come after them. But at home, total safety. So when I go back," Aaron said, stretching out her arms, I just talk with mom and then sleep for 7 days straight. Jenkins chuckled. Gotta unwind, you know. Aaron grinned. And I spend those 7 days eating all of mom's cooking. Kira could only sigh. Okay, but what if I don't have a login or password? Can I still get back? Aaron and Jenkins exchanged glances before responding in unison, of course. We don't need verification to get home. The accounts and passwords are only for the final air showdown. Otherwise, our faces are our IDs. Kira blinked, startled. Wait. What? Aaron and Jenkins elaborated, our guardians send regular updates about us to the family. They track everything. Kira frowned. Then what about Sean Church? How did his situation slip through? The two of them looked at each other, clearly puzzled. Good point. If everything about us is reported back, how did no one realize Sean isn't who they think he is? Jenkins rubbed his chin thoughtfully. The South family prioritizes daughters. Girls are the ones who carry on the family line. Male genes phase out after a couple of generations, so sons are considered, well, expendable. If the family knew Sean was male, they'd drag him back, strip him of his status as an heir, and end it right there. Aaron gasped, covering her mouth. How on earth did he manage to fool them? Kira's eyes narrowed as a thought struck her. Remember that little sidekick Sean always has with him. They both nodded. What if, Kira began slowly, that sidekick is actually his guardian? If the guardian is helping him deceive the family, it would explain how he's managed to keep up the act. Aaron's jaw dropped. That explains why that little sidekick was never afraid of me. Jenkins tapped his chin. Guardians and heirs are supposed to be a team, after all. If the guardian is in on it, it's not that far-fetched. Kira gave a thoughtful nod before looking back at the two of them. All right, last question. How do I get one of those tickets to go back to the South family? Aaron and Jenkins shared a grin. Your guardian will deliver it, of course. My accidental husband is a billionaire. 834 Chapter 833. Kira hesitated briefly when she heard that. The guardian will deliver it? Her sister's guardian was apparently Matthew. But ever since she exposed his identity last time, the two of them hadn't really been in contact. Kira tapped her chin thoughtfully and nodded. Well, that worked out. Matthew was definitely in the same boat as her, or at least he should be willing to help her, right? Have you all gotten your tickets yet? She asked. Aaron immediately nodded. I got mine ages ago. My guardian sent it to me a month back. Jenkins chimed in as well. I've been here in Kira for a while, but my guardian sent mine too. Hearing this, Kira froze for a second before pulling out her phone and dialing Matthew. The phone barely rang before he picked up. His voice was calm, almost soothing. Kira, what's wrong? Kira got straight to the point. So, about the South family's ticket, when were you planning to give it to me? What she didn't expect was Matthew's blunt response, I wasn't planning to give it to you. Kira was stunned. What did you just say? I'm not giving it to you, he repeated evenly. You're not ready to go to the South family. Her tone sharpened. Matthew, you don't get to decide that for me. Matthew sighed on the other end of the line. You're right, I don't. But I do get to decide for Kira, I'm her guardian. Kira frowned. What's that supposed to mean? Kira has never set foot in the South family home. Do you know why? No, Kira said flatly. Matthew's voice grew heavier. Because that house isn't hers. Kira's frown deepened. What does that mean? It means, he said carefully, that her adoptive mother doesn't like her. If you go back and they find out you're not her, that woman might very well expose your identity. The only reason she ever tolerated Kira was because the South family needed a daughter to serve as the next heir. Otherwise, that woman wouldn't have kept her at all. Kira took a deep breath. That doesn't matter to me. I need to go back to find my mom. I know, Matthew said quietly. And that's exactly why I'm telling you that you can't go back. Do you realize that once you enter that house, you won't be allowed to leave? And you will leave. I know you, Kira. You'll slip out, and when they find out, both you and your mom will be in danger. Kira lowered her gaze, her voice cold. There are probably only a handful of people in that family who know I'm my mom's daughter. Even if something happens to me, it won't affect her. The fact that Kira was Jody South's daughter was a tightly kept secret, known only to Kira's adoptive mother, the very person who had orchestrated this arrangement. No one else in the family had any clue about her connection to Jody. Matthew was playing this angle that if Kira got caught, Jody would be dragged into it to scare her into backing off. But he knew Kira too well. If it were only about her own safety, she wouldn't care at all. It was only when he brought her mom into the picture that she'd hesitate. Unfortunately for him, thanks to Aaron and Jenkins's stories, Kira wasn't buying his excuses this time. She had her own judgment now. Matthew clearly didn't expect this. After a long pause, he asked, "Do you have to go?" "I do." His voice was quieter now. "Even if it means you might not come back." "Yes." Matthew sighed heavily. "Fine. I'll deliver the ticket to you myself tomorrow. But, Kira, you need to understand something. The South family isn't as good as you think it is. Nor is it as bad. It's just, mysterious." Kira's gaze fell on the reflection in the glass window ahead. It was nighttime, and she could see her silhouette faintly superimposed on the dark sky outside. For a moment, she felt as though she was staring at Kira herself, a strange and unexplainable feeling. "That's exactly why I have to go," she said softly. "I need to see it for myself." She needed to see the South family that had everyone so intrigued. Besides, if she wanted any chance of winning in the end, she had to use this time back at the South family to locate the other four heirs. After hanging up, Kira turned to Aaron. "All right. Now, can you tell me about the 9 heirs of this generation in the South family?" Aaron started without hesitation. "I don't know their real names, but I can tell you the codenames we've figured out so far. You already know a few. Vera sided with me, and her codename is Cat. Clownfish is Sean Church. Jenkins is Lion, I'm Fox, and you're Rabbit. As for the remaining four, we only know their codenames. Eagle is in the US, Cobra is in Country D, Cockroach is in Country P." Kira almost choked on her drink. "Excuse me, Cockroach." Aaron rolled her eyes. "It's a codename. What's wrong with that?" "Cockroach was gross," Aaron muttered. "I remember her from preschool. She was always filthy, like she lived in the shadows. Honestly, it suits her." Kira nodded slowly. "And what about the last one?" The moment she asked, Jenkins couldn't help but stifle a laugh. "My accidental husband is a billionaire." 835 Chapter 834. Aaron pressed her lips together, clearly holding back her thoughts. Kira noticed and asked, "What's wrong?" Jenkins jumped in before Aaron could reply. "This last one here, her interests are surprisingly similar to Aaron's." Kira frowned. "Food." Jenkins nodded. "Exactly. That's why we nicknamed her Pig." Kira blinked, stunned. "Were code names really handed out this carelessly?" She twitched her lips in disbelief, but Aaron cut in with immediate protest. "Hold on. What do you mean, my interests are the same as Pig's? I'm a selective eater, okay? I have standards. I don't just eat everything." "She does. Anything remotely edible, she's all in." Aaron gave an exaggerated huff. "Back in preschool, she used to finish off all our leftovers. Seriously, we'd save them for her because she could eat everything. Her mom even showed up at school once to complain, saying the teachers were turning her kid into a pig. Said she was getting too big and too chubby. As Kira listened to their chatter, vividly picturing the scene from years ago, she couldn't help but interrupt with a question. You two grew up together for a few years, right? After all that, can you really bring yourselves to go after each other, fighting tooth and nail? The question landed like a bomb, leaving both Jenkins and Aaron momentarily speechless. Neither of them saw that question coming. Even Aaron, who had been happily munching on pistachios, slowly set them down and let out a sigh. Jenkins finally broke the silence. Childhood friends? Sure, but most of that fades as you grow older. It's been years since we stayed in touch, there's no bond left to speak of. Besides, if this fight is destined to be a life or death struggle, showing mercy to your enemy is the same as being cruel to yourself. Jenkins' tone was calm, but her words carried a brutal finality. I know you've never lived through something as ruthless as this, but you'd better remember what I'm telling you. Trust no one outside of our faction. Be careful even with me and Aaron. We might seem loyal now, but trust? That's not even in our vocabulary. We grew up learning to protect ourselves first. If you ever end up in conflict with Eagle, and it looks like you're losing while Eagle's gaining the upper hand, Aaron and I wouldn't hesitate to leave you behind. The seriousness of her expression, coupled with the harsh reality of her words, sent a chill through the air. Aaron, however, wasn't having it. Speak for yourself. I'm nothing like you. She snapped. Kira glanced over at Aaron, curious to hear her out. Aaron folded her arms and huffed. I said I'm different because I never pledged loyalty to her in the first place. I told her she's my sidekick, not the other way around. Kira pinched the bridge of her nose. She was honestly too tired to deal with Aaron's antics right now. This girl could be all talk when it came to everything else, but when it came to loyalty. Not so much. Taking a deep breath, Kira turned to the two of them. Thank you, she said sincerely. Both of them froze, caught off guard by the sudden gratitude. Aaron coughed awkwardly. What are you thanking us for? For being honest, Kira replied. For telling me all this. Well, you're welcome, I guess. Aaron quickly shoved another pistachio into her mouth, trying to brush off the moment. But just so we're clear, my goal is to win and become the final heir. So don't even think about competing with me. Jenkins smirked and turned to Kira. I don't care who gets the inheritance, honestly. All I want is freedom. But if it has to be someone, I'd rather it be you. At least that way, you won't let Peter spend the rest of his life alone, right? Kira's face flushed. You. That's your reason for dating someone from the Olsen family. Jenkins coughed awkwardly. More or less. Kira glanced over her shoulder with a sly smile. Peter, looks like you're being used again. Jenkins whipped around in alarm, her previous mishap clearly still fresh in her mind. She scanned the room, half expecting Peter to suddenly appear. When she realized no one was there, she turned back to Kira, narrowing her eyes. You tricked me again. Kira chuckled, unable to contain her amusement. Jenkins lunged for her, fingers aimed to tickle. You're so dead for this. You pranked me one too many times. Dodging out of the way, Kira suddenly turned serious. I just want to remind you if you love someone, don't keep pretending like you don't. Kira then shifted topics. By the way, Louis wants to come with me to the South family estate. Any ideas? Sure. Jenkins and Aaron answered in unison. Aaron's eyes sparkled mischievously. You can bring someone with you. Especially a fiancé. The South family loves that. Jenkins chimed in with a smirk. They'll be so welcoming that your fiancé might never leave. Kira shot them a deadpan look. Aaron nudged Jenkins playfully. All right, jokes aside. Bringing a fiancé essentially means they're joining the South family. He won't be allowed to leave ever. Basically, he'd become collateral. So, if you can avoid it, don't bring him. Kira nodded, making an okay gesture. Looked like bringing Louis wasn't an option after all. In some ways, that was a relief. Leaving him in Clance was probably the safest choice. After all, once she set foot in the South family estate, there was a good chance her identity would be exposed. My accidental husband is a billionaire. 836 Chapter 835. That evening, Kira told Louis about the situation. Louis listened, his reaction calm as always. Got it, he said plainly, offering no further comment. Kira assumed he'd given up on the idea entirely. But the next morning, Matthew arrived and handed her two cruise tickets. Kira looked at them in surprise and asked, "Who's the other one for?" Matthew answered in his usual detached tone, "I'm going with you." She blinked. "You?" He adjusted his gold-rimmed glasses. "Yes, you may be Kira, but there's a lot you don't know. Sure, you left the South family when you were three and don't remember much, but over the years, I've maintained contact with them. Without my help, you wouldn't be able to pull this off. Besides," he paused before continuing, "you're going to need Kira's account credentials and password, right?" Matthew explained further, "The final round of the competition requires an entry ticket. The South family has implemented strict measures to prevent imposters, so you'll need the account credentials to verify your identity. DNA verification might also be required. Since you and Kira are identical twins, your DNA should be similar enough, but you don't know the credentials, only your adoptive mother does." Kira frowned and took a moment to process this. "Can guardians board the ship too?" she asked. He nodded. "They can." She sighed. "All right then." Her eyes dropped to the cruise ticket in her hand. It was for a luxury cruise spanning Europe, set to sail for 2 weeks. "Curious," she asked, "where exactly are we supposed to disembark?" Matthew replied, "That depends on instructions from the South family. I have a satellite phone for updates. As for you, you won't be allowed to bring any personal belongings on board." Kira nodded, then asked another question. "Are all the heirs on the same ship?" "Of course not," Matthew said, shaking his head. She exhaled in relief. The thought of every heir being on one ship sounded like a disaster waiting to happen. What if someone decided to sink the entire ship? As if reading her mind, Matthew added, "About a century ago, they did put all the heirs on one ship. Someone actually sank it. Luckily, the South family was nearby to rescue the survivors, but even then, the number of heirs dropped from over 100 to barely a dozen. The rest drowned. Ever since then, they've divided everyone onto different ships. No one knows which ship you'll be on." Kira stared at him. "Wait, are you saying?" Matthew asked, "What?" "That ship wasn't the Titanic, was it?" Matthew didn't know what to say. He gave her a blank look and ignored her joke, continuing instead, "When you board, you can bring personal items and just tell people you're going on vacation. But once you're on the ship, follow my lead." She nodded obediently. Matthew studied her for a moment and added, "And when we get to the South family, you'll also need to follow my instructions. No running off and doing your own thing. If you can't agree to that, I won't take you to the South family, even if you board the ship." Only Matthew could contact the South family. Kira rolled her eyes. "Fine. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to risk blowing my cover and getting myself killed." Matthew seemed satisfied with her answer. He handed her a small box of pills next. "What's this?" she asked. "Your iron deficiency anemia hasn't flared up recently, right? It's because of this medication. Make sure to take it regularly. She looked at the pills and sighed. Fine. Matthew stood and dusted off his coat. I'll see you in 2 days then, he said, referring to their boarding date. Kira nodded. After he left, Kira headed upstairs, hoping to check on Louis. But when she found him, he was still glued to his laptop, buried in work. She leaned against the doorway. You're still working? You're not even coming along, so why bother? Louis looked up and smirked. Who said I'm not coming? Let me finish my work first. Kira froze, confused. Wait, you found a way. There's always a way, Louis said nonchalantly, still typing. Why don't you chat a little more? Keep talking. What? Kira blinked. About what? Anything, he replied, pulling off his headphones and unplugging his laptop. The team wants to hear from you. She glanced over his shoulder and realized he was on a video call. On screen, several faces eagerly greeted her. Hi, Mrs. Horton. Someone called out cheerfully. Kira waved awkwardly, shot Louis a glare, and left the room, retreating to their bedroom. Half an hour later, Louis finished his call and joined her. She raised a brow. Yeah. So. Spill. He leaned casually against the doorframe. You already know the rules. Only guardians or future sons-in-law can accompany the heirs. Since I'm neither an heir nor a future son-in-law, I'll go as a guardian. Her confusion deepened. Whose guardian will you be? Aaron's, he said calmly. Kira froze. What? Louis explained, we've already worked it out. Her current guardian has handed me the ticket. We'll board separate ships but end up at the same destination. So. I'll see you at the South Family Estate.